Closely I've been looking back upon this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. And though it may sound simple, it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my darkest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, as his grace rolls down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he's done, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and God is good all of the time."
Good morning, ladies. How many of you can raise your hand with me and say, God has been good? God has been good. One of you said, hold up two hands. Praise the Lord. God has been good. It's hard to believe that it's been a year since we have been together, but I can say this year, God has been so good to me. I had some very major milestones in my life this year. I celebrated a milestone birthday. Very special. Had a spectacular surprise birthday party. I've never had one of those in my life. And a friend thought I needed a surprise birthday party, and she did it right, let me tell you. It was spectacular. A couple months later, celebrated a milestone marker in our marriage. My husband and I just celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary. praise the Lord, I am married to the most wonderful, handsome man in the entire world. And the Lord has allowed us to serve him. And I am so grateful. For the past 15 years, we have traveled in evangelism with a heartbeat for global evangelism. The Lord's blessed us with two wonderful daughters. My daughter Elizabeth is here with me today, and I'm so thankful to have her, and she's been such a help to me already. Elizabeth and I, we have a thing. I have tried very hard as a mother to convey an image of bravery and that as a woman, you can handle whatever comes before you. The Lord will help you. The Lord will give you strength. And I've tried so hard to convey that to my daughters. But there are certain creatures and critters that I have fallen short with. And recently we were in South Carolina for extended meetings. We were staying in a wonderful little cottage. It was still very hot. It was just about a month ago, and our air conditioning went out. Became close to getting late into the night, and we still had the doors open to the cottage just to let some air in. Even though it was sticky air, it was still air. And so we had a man there working on the air conditioner unit, had the doors wide open. Well, he packs up his things to leave. We close the doors. We still have suitcases sitting around in various places. And I'm in there, I think, trying to put on my night clothes. And I hear Elizabeth holler. Ah! I'm like, what on earth could it be? There's a lot of snakes in certain parts of South Carolina. And I thought, oh, it must be a snake. I go in there. I said, what's wrong? She said, the biggest, blackest bug I have ever seen in my life. I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. It'll really be okay. And I'm thinking, oh no, I hope it's going to be okay. What is it? But you know what? I say, okay, I knew she'd never be able to sleep. I knew I'd never be able to sleep. So I've got to find this big black bug. So I go in there to finish getting my clothes on, and I hear her holler again. He went right there. He was so fast. And so I go in there and I pick up the suitcase, and sure enough, it was the biggest, fattest, blackest bug you could imagine. As a mom, I put on the brave face. I say, that's nothing to worry about, darling. That's just one of those southern palmetto bugs. She says, oh, okay, I'll take care of it. And I'm thinking, oh, man. So I go get the broom. And I've got this girly streak in me. And so I move the suitcase, and he darts out, and I take the broom. And I can't just, it's the girl thing in me, I can't just hit it with the broom. It's, oh, you know, you have to just make that little, oh. And this big fram, and I'm hitting the floor, I'm hitting the wall. And anyway, my husband comes running to see what was the matter. And I'm still right in the middle of catching the second one, and I will not be interrupted. And so I take the broom, I'm like, ah! And I was able to kill both of these big black bugs with flying wings that fly around in the south. And the southerners, we love for all the northerners to come visit us and spend their vacation dollars in the south. So the southerners have come up with this name, palmetto bugs. Sounds so tropical and pleasant. It's a very kind and gracious word for roaches. It has nothing to do with sanitation in the South. They fly around, they love the pine trees, and they just love it. So Elizabeth had her first encounter with palmetto bugs, but I just didn't have the heart, because I thought she'll never go to sleep if she knows what those really are. So I just left her in her little state of naivety and let her think that this is just a sweet little southern palmetto bug. But we took care of those roaches. Lord willing, our heart's desire and plans are to go to India as a family this next year. We're planning to take a 4-month mission trip and serve the Lord as a family, and I am excited beyond words. My husband came in there and saw all the fussing and screaming and swinging, and he said, "Where am I taking you next year?" I said, "We'll be better by then." We're going to talk about a subject today that is dear to my heart. Ladies, all of us love to look at vessels. There are so many vessels and jars and things that can be used for the Bible. There's so many vessels that are mentioned in the Bible. There's vessels for water or refreshment. There's vessels used for cleansing. Vessels used for oil, for cooking, or to nourish the skin. Vessels used for anointing the sick. Vessels used for wine, the fruit of the vine, for nourishment or celebration. We see all kinds of vessels for lofty and noble purposes that are mentioned in the Bible. And we could go on forever talking about the uses for vessels. But many are made for decoration only. We had the privilege of visiting Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. And we were just a young married couple and had some of our young married friends with us. And the tour guide was pointing out, and there on the mantelpiece is the vase that George Washington presented to his wife Martha on their wedding anniversary. And our friend, fresh out of college, married, should have known better, but he reaches beyond the velvet rope, takes Martha's vase in his hand and tips it to the side to make sure that his wife gets a bird's eye view of this beautiful vase. And the tour guide, stopping, choking, gasping, says, "Sir, please don't touch the vase." Everyone was mortified. I was just dying to crawl into the fireplace and disappear. But we've all seen those kinds of vases that say, "Look, but do not touch." Some people can read. Some people can read and choose not to obey. But you know, our lives can really become like those beautiful vases that sit on the mantelpiece. We have on our church clothes. We're at these ladies' meetings. I always like to wear my favorite clothes to ladies' meetings because I figure men don't really care what you wear. They don't notice. But ladies are going to be like, "Oh, yes, you've got, you know, a little polka dot right there and a bow that goes with it." You know, we're detail-oriented. But we can put on all of our religious and holy garb and have everything just right, and we can inadvertently have a sign upon ourselves that says, "Look, but do not touch." And there's times like that in our lives that the Lord has to come to us in a special way. And I like to call them divine catalyst. The things that the Lord uses in our life to get our attention, to wake us up out of our little dream world, to bring us back to reality, and to remind us of the things that are really important. In Isaiah chapter 57, in verse 15, Isaiah 57, verse 15, in the Word of God, we find a verse here that reminds us of the importance, the significance that God wants to have in our lives and in our hearts. And the Bible says in Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Let's pray before we go any further. If you'd bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are near unto those that call upon you. Lord, I ask you to quiet my heart. Help me to hear from you. I pray that each of these ladies would hear from you today, from your word, from your living and powerful word. And I pray that it would make a difference in our lives and that we would not leave this place the same. Be my helper. Thank you for your love, that you would die on the cross for my sins. I love you, Jesus. Amen. These divine catalysts that God uses to get our attention. How many of you have ever experienced a conflict with a friend or a family member or even your spouse? Financial challenge, a reversal, a merge, company mergers, a major move or job change, a death of a loved one, death of a child, infertility, wayward children or spouse, a personal health crisis or a life-threatening illness, a church struggle or a church split. All of these things are things that really get our attention. And today I just want to share with you a little bit of a story, how that God has a divine purpose for our lives. And that oftentimes he uses the pathway of brokenness to get our attention. But he doesn't just leave us there broken and worthless and useless. We are broken for a purpose. We are broken for blessing. And we're going to talk about that a few minutes today. I have to tell you, I celebrated my milestone birthday this year. But about 10 years ago in 1998, I was a young woman, just barely in my 30s, and something was not right. I knew I did not feel like a 30-year-old woman with two beautiful babies and the most wonderful husband in the world. We had already traveled on the road for 5 years, and I must admit that I took pride in our matching outfits. Every little hair bow, every little sock, every little bloomer had to match perfectly. And I also made sure I never missed a church service. How could the service go on if I wasn't there? I had to be there for everything because I was going to do special music, play the piano, whatever. And even though we were in revival services most weeks of the year, I still never missed a service. I was living on coffee and tea and whatever else to keep my eyes open and handle the challenges of being in weeks of meetings, in and out, in and out. At my physical low point, I was so physically depleted that I would go into the grocery store, go through the bread aisle, and have to sit down on one of the low shelves in the grocery store because I was too winded, I was too breathless to be able to make it over to the milk aisle. I'd get my bread and milk and have to go check out because I didn't have enough air in my lungs to go any further in the grocery store. That was a very, very low point in my life. It took some time for me to get the proper medical diagnosis, and then through the process of medical care and heart cath, they thought I had a blockage. It ended up being a false blockage. But you know what? I was diagnosed with a heart condition. And I prayed and I begged and I pleaded to God and I went before the church and had them pray that God would remove this from my body, that I would be healed, that I would be strong so I could keep on doing all that I was doing because I was very pleased with all that I was doing. But you know what? God didn't heal me. But God had a higher purpose. He was working out something in my life that was beyond my comprehension. He had a greater purpose, and he was revealing to me the pathway of brokenness, how he can use these things in our lives that seem to be adverse, that seem to be impossible. He was showing to me a pathway of brokenness. He was revealing to me His love apart from my service. He was revealing to me relationship apart from my deeds. He was deepening my relationship and my walk that I might know Him. Brokenness, ladies, is the shattering of my self-will. It can be good things that we want to do. But if we put our foot down and say, we have to do this, brokenness is the shattering of my self-will, the absolute surrender of my will to the will of God. It's saying, yes, Lord, no resistance, no chafing, no stubbornness, simply submitting myself to His direction and His will in my life. And it might be way, way, way out of my comfort zone. But when we submit humbly under the mighty hand of God, He will bless us. Ladies, we are often tempted to blame the trials in our life on the devil. We just dismiss it and say, devil's just fighting me extra today. We have to be so careful that we quench not the spirit, because there is deep instruction to be found in every trial that is for us personally. It wouldn't do anything for the sister in the pew beside us, but every trial is personal. In Proverbs chapter 25, the Bible says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. You see, ladies, God will allow pain to reveal the thing in us that must go. There are things that we become comfortable with. Pride is the greatest of all evils that beset us, and of all our enemies, it is that which dies the slowest and the hardest. How true that is. Martin Luther said, God creates out of nothing. Therefore, until a man is nothing, God can make nothing out of him. I want us to look at some vessels in the Bible that God used in a special way. The first vessel we're going to look at is the earthen vessel. The earthen vessel was broken for blessing by the normal circumstances of life. And we're not going to take the time to go through these stories. I will give you in a nutshell the summary. How many of you are familiar with the story of Job? Lost all he had in one day. His health, wealth, and happiness. If you would define his wife as his happiness. In Job chapter 2 in verse 8, we see Brother Job. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Job didn't know why or how all of this was happening at the moment. And when he sat there suffering in the ashes, perhaps it had been that beautiful vase that was on the mantle before the great storm of life came and turned his world upside down. But now there's nothing left but just an ash heap. An ash heap, and there in the midst of it, there's this pottery. And Job, in the midst of his suffering, finds this broken pottery that would be counted worthless and good for nothing. And yet he takes this pottery, and through that pottery, he's allowed some comfort from the distress, the suffering, the boils that have encompassed his body. This man of God found relief because of that broken pottery. And ladies, I want to say that in our lives, as much as we'd like to say, look, but do not touch, we need the wind. Psalm 104, the verse of my life this past year, verse 1a and 3b, bless the Lord, O my soul, O my God, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. How many of you have had some wind in your lives this year? I've had some wind in my life this year, and I'd say, that's God. You see those wings of the wind? You see that wind? That's God, and He is there. Amy Carmichael, in her book, Whispers of His Power, relates the story of two potted lilies that sat on either side of her window. One was vibrant and blossoming and beautiful, and the other had somewhat to be desired. Upon careful inspection, she looked at the one that was looking a bit puny and realized that it wasn't in the path of the breezeway. The breezeway was blowing this direction. And this one over here had become dusty, so that it wasn't able to get the nourishment and the nutrients that it needed. Our lives, we need wind, ladies. We need the wind, and we need the storms. It was in the storm, impulsive Peter voiced his utter helplessness and his utter dependence upon God and said, "Lord, save me." Not a fancy prayer, was it? But it got the attention of the Lord. Unless we can look the darkest, blackest fact full in the face without damaging the character of God, we do not yet know Him. Oswald Chambers also said, "Clouds are but the dust of our Father's feet." Ladies, I want us to look at another picture. This pitcher was broken for blessing by the Word of God. We want to talk to God about our equipment. This is how I have prepared to serve you in this way. And I would love to serve you in this way, Lord. We want to offer our temperaments. I have taken the temperament test, and this is where I can best serve you, Lord. Of course, feel free to put me where you like me, but I'll do a better job if you put me in this area here. Just look at my temperament chart, Lord. We take these things to the Lord, our talents, but God wants us to understand it's not about our means, but it's about His means. It's about what He wants to put into us. It's not just our natural heredity that He wants to use. In Judges chapter 7, verse 16 through 20, we see Gideon, and through the process of elimination, God's elimination, the word of the Lord, his little miniature army goes to face the Midianites, and there were just these plain old household pictures that they used to hold the light. And at the word of the Lord, the pictures were broken to intimidate the enemy. For that light to be in the vessel, that vessel had to be empty. Wouldn't do very good to have a vessel full of water and say, "Oh, I'll just stick my light in here." Wouldn't have been very effective. It had to be empty. And ladies, to be used by the Lord, we have to be an empty vessel. My right to be right has to go. Broken people are willing to yield their rights and have a meek spirit waiting for instruction from the Lord. Broken people deny self. This vessel had to be broken, and that was the only way that it could reveal the light to illuminate the darkness. What a perfectly good waste of a lovely picture. I mean, who knows? You know, maybe their grandma had made that picture, or their uncle. What a perfectly good waste of a perfectly good vessel. But this vessel had to be broken to shine forth the light. Isaiah 58:8, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward." I say, but if I break my vessel, how am I going to get water tomorrow? We don't have to look behind us. The Lord will be our rear guard. He will take care of us. When we are broken for His purposes, He will bless. Ladies, we are surrounded by darkness in this world, and sometimes we are in personal darkness by our own sinful choices. Because God prompted us, there was something that He shined the light on, and we said, "That doesn't matter." We just push it to the side and say, "That's not important," and we refuse to yield on that one small point. This yields confusion, fear, and unrest within our soul. Broken people do not cover their sin. Broken people admit their failures and seek forgiveness from God and man. I can make things right with God, but if it is in the power of my hand to make things right with a brother or sister that I have sinned against, I need to do that. I need to be broken. I need to humble myself before God and man. And broken people are specific when they repent of their sin. I guess I shouldn't have done that. That does not cut the mustard, ladies. That's like saying, oh, that's a palmetto bug. I shouldn't have done that is not repenting of your sin. It doesn't cut it with God, and it's not going to cut it with your fellow sister. It's not going to cut it with your husband, and it's not going to cut it with your children. Your children know when you are being transparent, when you're being humble, when you're being truthful. Psalm 51, 16 and 17, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken spirit, ladies, crushed. My daughter Rachel and I were talking about this. We were doing a devotional this past month, and we were thinking of all these things. What does it mean to be broken? One of the things that we came up with was no resistance. No resistance to what God is doing and allowing and performing in my life right now. We're surrounded by the darkness of this world, ladies, and there can only be victory by obeying the word of the Lord. The vessel has to be broken to reveal the light. And ladies, in case you haven't noticed, we are at war. There is a war being waged for our nation right now. And I pray to God that he will be merciful to our land, to our nation once again. There's a war being waged for our churches. We travel around the country and have been for some time. And there is a war being waged for our churches. There is a war being waged for our marriages. And ladies, there are some things worth fighting for. And our marriages need to be at the top of that list. And our children. There is a war being waged for our children. Those are things that are worth fighting for. For the light to be revealed, the vessel has to be broken. I want to share with you an email that I received from a lady on the mission field. She's currently serving on the mission field beside her husband. Dear Samantha, I was cleaning out my email folder and came across this letter. She was one of those, just like I was 10 years ago, that, you know, the family's always singing and everything's matching and you never miss a church service. And praise the Lord if you are doing it in his strength. Praise the Lord. But sometimes the Lord has to stop us and say, not another step. And that's what the Lord did in my life. And I had shared with her my story because I could see all the red flags going off when they were on deputation. They hadn't even gotten to the mission field yet. And I'm looking and my heart is just breaking. And I'm thinking, red flags, red flags, red flags. And I shared with her my story. And she, at the time, was very patronizing. Well, thank you for your concern. Goodbye. We're good at that, aren't we? That nice little smile. Oh, it's so nice of you to speak. Goodbye. I got this email just last month. Dear Samantha, I was cleaning out my email folder and came across this letter. I don't think it was any coincidence, as lately the Lord's really been working in my heart about my obligations in my home. I'm certainly seeing my physical limitations, yet the knowledge of there being so much to do and so little time to do it here on the mission field causes me to go on without the Lord. The Lord's work without the Lord. And she has, with a question mark. It's not very productive or rewarding. Not that all I've done here has been without him, but I've recently seen that much I've taken on in the last few weeks has been things I desire to do, not things I've even consulted God about or my husband. So now I've got too much on my plate, and the problems as dessert, not very flavorful when you don't have room. Though I didn't respond 4 years ago as I intended, I wanted you to know that God has used our conversation in this reminder. How many ladies do I see across the country that are running every direction? And ladies, I want to say, just because it is in the church bulletin and just because it's announced from the pulpit doesn't mean God wants you to do it. You need to get with the Lord and ask Him what He wants you to do and what He will give you the power to do. We have to be broken before Him. It's like, oh yeah, I can do that because I'm a good cook. Oh yeah, I can do that because... And then every sporting event that comes along for every child and every church league, and the list goes on. And we can be so consumed with all of the things, and we can be running in the flesh and not seeking the face of God, not being humble and contrite and broken before Him and asking Him what He wants to do. We're going to look at one more box, one more vessel, the alabaster box. The alabaster box was broken for blessing by gentle, loving hands. In Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Mark chapter 14, verse 3 through 9. And I really feel like I need to read this to you quickly. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Beautiful story of Mary. Mark 14, 3 through 9. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat, the Lord Jesus. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and might have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Ladies, have you ever really stopped like Mary did and seen Jesus for who He really is? She had doubtless worked, picked, and prepared grain and cleaned the house. Mary was not negligent of her duties. But when Jesus stepped in the house, she realized all that really mattered. When she experienced His presence, she realized that one thing was needful. Have you ever chosen to be broken? It's so much better when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. When we yield to the brokenness, when we yield to the divine catalyst in our life, when we learn, when we absorb, when we understand what He's trying to get at, the root that He wants to get to. Proverbs 29:1, the Bible warns us that if we don't choose to be broken, in 29:1 it says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Ladies, I pray that we will listen to the proddings of the Lord in our life, and that when He shines the light on areas in our life that we need to humble ourselves under His mighty hand, that we will be quick to yield and be broken. The wonderful thing about this vessel is that it was broken in a home. This is where it starts, ladies. Until we are broken in our home, we will not yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. John 12, 24 and 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, except it fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Let me tell you some things about broken people, ladies. Broken people are more conscious of their own spiritual need than anyone else's. They can forgive much because they know that they have been forgiven much. Broken people reverence and encourage the authority that God has placed in their lives. And they talk to God in intercession rather than complaining and gossiping to their sisters in the Lord. They have a dependent spirit, so contrary to the world's philosophy. We're told in circles that we need to be independent. We need to have a dependent spirit and know our need for God and for others in our lives. Broken people desire to serve others before themselves. They desire to promote others and realize their own unworthiness. They want others to get the credit. They are thrilled God would use them at all and want all praise to be going to his name. Broken people are humbled by how much they still need to learn. And they're not preoccupied with what other people think of them. They want to be real. Broken people recognize and live within their God-given limitations. Oh, that was a hard one for me. Broken people are willing to take the risk of getting close to others and quick to acknowledge when they're wrong and admit failure and seek forgiveness. Broken people accept correction humbly. Broken people realize they need to maintain a continual heart attitude of repentance and sense their need for a fresh encounter with God and yielding to the Holy Spirit. Ladies, that alabaster box that Mary broke, it was broken with sacrifice. Sometimes it seems like a great sacrifice when we're going through this experience of brokenness. Mary did not give a gift of convenience, but she held nothing back. The vessel was broken for worship. The Lord said, "She hath wrought a good work on me," and the word good explained further invokes the word beautiful and virtuous. What a blessed title for a woman to give a gift that was beautiful and virtuous. And as Mary anointed the head, she also anointed his feet and took the essence of her very glory in Jewish culture and said, "I have no glory of my own." She took her hair and washed his feet, anointed his feet with oil. And because of that, she silenced the murmurers. There will always be murmurers. I just call those the jealous people. When you're worshiping our Savior in brokenness, there's no need to defend yourself. He will defend you. He will take up your cause. He said, "Let her alone." And they did too. It's not about money. Let's just set the record straight. The politicians don't understand. It's not about money. It's not about politicians. It's not about the poor. It's all about Him. It's not about strength or might. It's about His delight. Very lastly, let me share with you the tale of an Indian woman. In the land of India, she would leave her village each day to collect water from the stream. With a pole across her neck and two large pots tied on each end, she would make the journey every day. One pot was absolutely perfect and was very proud of its perfect performance, to say the least. The other pot was cracked. It was marred, and it always arrived back home only half full and felt quite ashamed of its performance. For 2 years, the wise woman would return home with only 1.5 pots of water. One day, the cracked pot spoke to the woman, and it said, "I must apologize for my failure. I cannot perform like the other pot, and every day you come home with only 1.5 pots. And the wise woman said, did you notice the flowers on your side of the path? I've always known that you had a crack. And you see, I put seeds on your side of the pathway, knowing that you would water those seeds all the way home. And it is because of your crack, your flaw, that I'm able to pick flowers every day on the way home and grace my home with these beautiful flowers. Ladies, when God brings you to the pathway of brokenness, don't resist. Don't worry. The Lord has a special plan for you. He's doing a wonderful work in your life, and He uses broken vessels. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Fill our hearts. Allow us to be willing to be broken for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.